Welcome to another episode of Connecting with Toms. I'm Julie, your trauma-informed movement coach.
Dr. Tom, your number one biological practitioner.
And our podcast, if you're new here, is all about helping you heal your own body from the inside out. And we like to share information that we have learned through our, oh, I don't know how many years, Dad, 70 years combined, kind of, maybe more, 80?
At least 50.
At least 54. Long time. We've been doing this a long time, right? And so both of us have evolved. My dad was a dentist before, and then he became a naturopathic doctor, and then he became a biological doctor. I was doing a doctorate in philosophy of sport, and then I got into personal training, and now I do trauma work. So we've evolved, and we're here to share all the things that we find interesting that can help you, inspire you to take your own power back and live a happy, healthy life. Today, we're going to be talking about something that is very, very popular. It's become very mainstream. I guess you could say there's some controversy around it. So we want to give our two cents about this type of modality to help you heal trauma and help you heal. So Dad, do you want to dive into us and tell us a little bit about this? I mean, like I said, it's a little bit controversial. So, you know, it's been coming up in your world with your what do you call it? Mastermind? In your group? Yeah. So it's been coming up. And so the doctors that you're working with have been asking a lot about this, and it's been coming up. Some of my clients have been asking about these modalities as well. So do you want to dive into what it is?
So what comes up and what has been coming up because of, you know, the post-COVID, of course, one of the things that has come up significantly is the number of people who have depression, the number of people who present with anxiety, and the number of people who have become unsuccessful in standard treatments. So we have teenagers, unfortunately, who are being bullied, who are committing suicide. We have post-traumatic stress, people coming out of the military, something like one in every 22 military person, unfortunately, statistically is committing suicide, which tells us that there's a lot of dramatic brain trauma that's happened and is happening and has been happening, not just in the last 3 years, but forever. So what's become more popular then is to start looking at sort of mind-altering medications. And the ones that have come up are actually ones that have been around forever. Specifically, we could be talking about ayahuasca that has been popular in South America for many years. We can be talking about mushrooms. We've been talking about UFO or toads. And there's, you know, a variety. Ketamine is another one that's coming up. And patients who have tried these, you know, will report that, you know, they, for the moment anyway, that they definitely are in a different place, and found them to be somewhat successful, more so than what they were getting in other ways. So, you know, they always ask me then, it's like, well, what do you think about them? And so I always, you know, everything that I do in medicine, I always sort of look at Mother Nature. I always look at how did these types of products come about? You know, what were they initially used for? Why were they initially used for? And we can go back as far as the Native American culture. People are still do this and are familiar with this. And that, of course, is the idea of sweat lodges. And if you look back hundreds of years, sweat lodge in the Native American culture, you say, well, what was that used for? Was that because these people were depressed? Was that because these people were in pain? Is that because, you know, some other factor? And invariably, historically, what seems to have come up is the fact that what these people were reaching for was a higher level of spiritual awareness, is how I like to look at it or address it. They were looking for something to have a greater connection to the bigger good, more so than just, you know, our physical entity on the planet at this point in time. And so when we look at spiritual awareness, we can also look at ayahuasca. We can also look at, you know, the mushrooms. We can also look at UFO as providing a mind-altering experience. And historically, when you look back, you say, oh, people who did that and what it was useful for was to literally, for lack of a better word, leave our body to go into this higher entity, this higher spiritual entity. However, in my experience, when people are asking me about it, that's generally not what they're looking for now. They're just looking to get out of their present state because they're unhappy or they would like to have something different. And they've heard about these types of things. They feel that that may be a positive thing for them on their particular health journey. And I would agree, it absolutely does that. And many of my patients who have already been, I'll say, experimenting with these types of things. And, you know, we can go back to the 1950s when they talked about LSD as a hallucinogen. And, you know, unfortunately, there was a lot of, you know, bad results from that. People were being literally experimented on. Obviously, it's still around. We know that has the potential of doing mind-altering things, but sometimes with not a very good outcome. My experience, once again, with people on an everyday basis is, so what happens after the fact? Is anything different? Does it change? Are you the same? Or are you in the same place? Or are you in a new place? Have you reached a higher level of awareness of what it is that you are trying to understand? And invariably, what they say is, during the experience, they were able to literally leave the challenge that they were having. But it doesn't, at least I'm not saying it can't, but just in my experience, it hasn't produced the permanent result that ultimately what they were looking for. And in reality, that's what I'm looking for. We previously have talked about trauma. That's a lot of work that you do, Julie. We previously have talked about, you know, the books that I've written on the Brain Protocol and the use of not only, I would say they're not mind altering, they are energetic remedies, to literally to try and change neuronal pathways so that we actually can change something that may be deeply embedded in the unconscious, which where a lot of these challenges lie for most people, to create literally a permanent alteration of how they interact with the world. So I'll stop there and let you comment.
All right. Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is, that's what I was telling my dad before we started this podcast is I'm like, I don't know much about this because I really haven't had an interest in doing any of this myself. So I don't know, like I haven't take a deep dive into the world of mind altering tools or taking mushrooms or, but I've had interactions with some friends who have done ayahuasca and they loved it. They absolutely loved it. And so for me, it was more of a conversation with them about, they'd gone back to, I think it was like 3 or 4 different weekends. So the thing is that the ceremonies are typically done on a weekend. And my question for her was, why do you keep going back? And she's like, because of how I feel. And it's at the end of the day, a lot of times, a lot of people are looking for ways to feel different, right? And I think this is just another way for people to explore feeling different in their bodies at the end of the day, because they're so disconnected and they don't know how to get out of their current situation because they're dealing with trauma, because it is uncomfortable. So for her, it was almost like an escape. And then when she came home, the realities were still there. And that's where she, you know, like she would, I don't know, it was like once a month or something like that, if I remember correctly. So like for the month, she would just totally get stressed out. And then when she'd go there, it'd be like a reset opportunity. But the problem is that she wasn't learning what she needed to do after the ceremony and after the experience on how to maintain this level of openness, I guess, or this level of whatever she unlocked and whatever she tuned into, she wasn't able to maintain it. So the question is, if you're choosing to do mushrooms or MDMA or LSD or whatever, or ketamine, like the research is showing, like Andrew Huberman talks a lot about this stuff, and a lot of people are doing it under supervised conditions, and they're, you know, things are changing. But at the end of the day, what I'm looking at, and I think what my dad was saying too, is that why are you choosing this modality? Like, have all of the other modalities failed you at this point? And, or is it that you're fed up and, you know, you want to try something new, and you're, again, at the end of the day, what are you trying? Why are you choosing to do it? And the answer is probably going to be because you have some type of trauma response and you want to try to heal from that trauma. But what we want to say, I think, or what my point I want to come across is there's more work that needs to be done before we use this modality. The modality, like all modalities work. I tell everybody, every single modality will work. But the thing is, you have to, there's other pieces of the puzzle that we have to bring to the table first to be able to understand for it to work and for it to be sustainable. Like it might feel good for, you know, you might do it for a weekend. You're like, oh my God, that was the most amazing experience. And that's fantastic. But at the end of the day, how are you, what happens when you get back? What happens when you're off of it? Right? How does your life change? How does your reality change? And so that's really what we need to take a look at. So, you know, if you're someone that, like, I do have clients who smoke pot to calm them, calm their nervous system, because it's the only way for them to calm themselves down. And I get that. And that's because they do that because that's a trauma response. And that's where, when I was having a client, a conversation with my client, I'm like, that's your trauma response, because she doesn't know another way. This is her coping mechanism. You know, it's so many people use this modality. It used to be alcohol, but now we know that, you know, for some people it doesn't, and it creates problems. And that's why, like, Health Canada says, like, two drinks a week, right? Before, I don't know what it was before, but anyway, so they're really limiting because they understand now, like, the dangers of having too much alcohol. And I think in 20 years from now, or 10 years from now, or whatever, we're going to see that, you know, the amount of pot that people are smoking, because it is legalized here in Canada, is going to have, you know, an adverse effect on your health. So again, the question is, why are you choosing to use this modality? What trauma are you going to be able to heal, or are you trying to heal by using this particular modality? And I think that's the question we need to ask first before you choose to do that. Like, why are you choosing this style in your healing journey at this point?
Excellent. Well said, well spoken. And just sort of to, you know, continue that thought process as to, you know, the comment that you made, you know, why are you choosing this particular modality? And I think the reason is because it's on the internet, it's on social media. People are hearing about it. Unfortunately, what they haven't yet heard about is the things that we've talked about in our last 27, you know, podcasts, of the other things that you could be doing for yourself that are stranger to, you know, people, to many people, except probably the people who listen to this podcast, who are sort of looking at, there are other ways of doing it. But because even, you know, national media has, you know, you start hearing about this stuff, so people think, oh, this is my solution. I don't know about these other things that you talked about. Well, what are the other modalities that are possible? And we'd say, well, listen to our first 27 podcasts, and you'll get a sense of the types of things that you hopefully can be incorporating into your everyday life, seeing where that gets you. There is obviously other types of professional support. And we're not saying that these things should be banned or never done. But over time, once again, I'll go back to what I said, ayahuasca and mushrooms and MUFO and all that, LSD, you know, were used and to try and create an altered state. But the challenge is, in some cases, that they, LSD, especially from way back when, you know, the people got stuck in that altered state, which became not manageable, that they were, it was compatible with them continuing to live, really, per se. So I do have a patient who, by his own admission, has probably done over 100 ceremonies, as you said, you know, in over a number of years, looking for something, and then realized that after that, he said, I feel great, as you just said, feel wonderful, feel altered. It allows me to cope with the next day type thing. But then I would go back because it's not enough. It doesn't hold. It hasn't helped, at least in this one individual case, it didn't. I'm not saying it doesn't for anybody, but in this case, and he's, in my experience, he's the, this gentleman is the person who has most utilized that modality in an attempt to try and see if there's a sort of a different outlook on his own life, how he looks at life, how things have happened to him, et cetera. But he put a pause on that, you know, in the last while, and is exploring other options, some things that, you know, more from an energetic perspective that we typically do, be it homeopathics, be it herbal medicine, et cetera, that I personally have found to be effective over so many years. So I think the aspect is that continuing the search and maybe using these things are part of your search. The what I always think is a positive is that you start to realize, the patient starts to realize that you don't have to live in the component that you have, you know, in general, thinking that this is the end all be all, you know, I'm stuck. But when we do energetic medicines, which I could probably say we could include this in a certain aspect, and the fact that you have a different outcome means that there is the potential that the body, the brain, how you interact can change. That's what I'm always looking for. Is there the potential for healing? And when you get in a different place, that means there is a potential for healing. What we'd like to do is, if we have to do supportive therapies in addition to what they're doing, that will allow them to appreciate the fact that, you know, that's one of the stepping stones. It may not be the, in fact, I don't personally believe it is the end all be all, even if people feel better. You mentioned alcohol and the fact that the requirements have now, in the last 6 months or so, dramatically changed because, well, it's well known alcoholism is a pretty devastating illness. And while it's like a little bit of red wine is helpful, you know, from the French paradox idea, the idea is that, no, well, it doesn't necessarily decrease your risk of heart disease, but it does increase your risk of, unfortunately, many other illnesses that are going on. And in time, because I think these modalities are now not being used, I would say, in ceremony, from be it religious or higher spiritual awareness, time will tell when in the next decade or two, however it'll be, that, you know, is this now a socially acceptable way of doing it? Right now, it seems to be that people are thinking that it's, oh, it must be fine because people are talking about it. And for some people, that may be their only escape from, you know, their present unhappiness or their present challenges that they presently are experiencing. So let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. Let's accept the fact that there's a component to this that can be helpful, can be acceptable. But at the same time, let's have people explore and hopefully create more social awareness that, you know, doing basic treatment guidelines that we have talked about on more than one occasion, looking at the idea of how do we address trauma other than trying to ignore it, that can be highly effective and useful for people and in a way that allows them to truly change neuronal development. The use of, that we talked about previously, of red light therapy that we now know is having a very positive effect on multiple things, be the ADD, ADHD, mild cognitive decline, or serious, severe cognitive decline. The use of stimulation of that aspect, because we know that light is the essence of wellness. We know that photons literally communicate, you know, from cell to cell. We know that photons are part of how our body makes energy in the mitochondria. So we know that we have other tools, other modalities that may be in support of helping a person, the person that you mentioned who, you know, goes back for 4 or 5 ceremonies, we'll say, because there is a sense of improvement or wellness. So let's, in between those ceremonies, let's make her aware that there are other things that she can be doing that will ultimately support her journey to change the outcome of where they've been. Because, you know, one of my sayings is that the reason that a patient that comes to see me is because they think they have a specific problem. But what I always say is, well, the reason that you have this symptom is simply an indication of where you've came from. And it's an indication of where you're going. So our goal is to take the past, look at the present, so that we can change the future. So I think we can roll this type of discussion into that model and saying where you came from is why you're looking for something to be different in the present state. Because of the media, we are finding that this may be an option. And because it feels good for many people who reported while doing it, But we need to make it so it totally changes the future and not just affects the present model. And then you're back to the same place. So in other words, you're on as a hamster wheel, but you never are moving forward, being able to alter the future. And that really is what our goal is to change from your health trajectory in the future so that you're not destined to, you know, stay on this hamster wheel and have to just wait until your time is up and you transition to the next life.
I have a few thoughts that came up as you were talking. So one thing to the way you can look at this is this for this particular modality. So if you're going to use ayahuasca or if you're going to use mushrooms or LSD or anything like that, there's a time and a place for it. So when I think about healing trauma, there's like, to me, there's layers of healing trauma. And so with this type of modality, it's very much linked to the spiritual aspect. It's very much linked to the higher self part. And so when we're healing trauma, one of the common denominators that I've seen and experienced is that there's that lack of community and that lack of, you're feeling alone. And we all know that we can't heal alone. And so using these type of modalities, and because it's becoming more mainstream, I'm finding, or I'm thinking that people are doing it because it brings that sense of community. Because I'm noticing that so many people, like people, because of the pandemic, people are still afraid to come out and to socialize. And like in the last podcast, I was talking about, like, I really do struggle being around people. And I realize now is because during the pandemic, I wasn't around a lot of people. And now when I am around people, people are rude and people are not kind and people are afraid. And that's, I feel that energy when I'm around it and it's frustrating to me. So I'm choosing to pull myself away from that in order to protect myself. But because I have this awareness, I can now choose how to proceed. And I think this is the thing, is if you're thinking about using this modality, or if you do use it, think about how are you using it in terms of community? How are you using it to connect with yourself, A, and B, with other people? And so the thing too is that, again, like you said, Dad, like a lot of people, when you're using these type of modalities, it has that spiritual self. So when we talk about like healing trauma, when I work with somebody, I'm looking at the level of, are we healing you energetically? Are we healing your mental health? Are we healing your physical health? Are we healing your spiritual health? So there are different levels. And so if you have done the work in terms of healing your energetic traumas or the energy part of you and understand your emotions and really aware and understand sensations, like, you know, when you feel angry, what sensations are showing up and how your body responds, like, that's great. Then, you know, like, if you've done all that work, fantastic. If you haven't, then maybe that's where you need to start instead of just jumping into this like new modality because it's people are talking about it and it's more mainstream or whatever, right? So the idea is, think of it as like levels of healing trauma. To me, this level is very high. It's the higher self. I'm trying to reach that self. So if you're someone that's considering doing this, my question to you is, do you know what your purpose is in life? And if you don't, you need to take a step back and figure that out first, because knowing your purpose in life is how you start to connect yourself spiritually. And then some people can argue that, hey, if I do ayahuasca, I'll find out what my purpose is, or I'll find out what my, you know, if I do shrooms or whatever, I'll know what my purpose is from there. And that's possible, 100% possible, but that's where you have that intention. I'm going to do this XYZ because I want to connect with my purpose. And that's why you keep going back. And if that's what you're doing, fantastic. Then the work that we need to continue on is, how do we get you to live your purpose every single day when you're not on the mind altering tool at the end of the day, right? And that's how we can use it. So again, it's just a tool to help you really, again, discover and heal your traumas, but there are levels to it. So if you haven't done your physical trauma healing, or if you haven't done your energetic healing, or if you haven't done the mental health healing of your trauma, I personally, in my experience, I would suggest you start there first before you jump into this style. So, and I think that's why, if I sit here and reflect, and I'm like, I think that's why I'm not there yet. I'm still working on my purpose, because as I've told all of my clients and all the people in my community, my purpose keeps changing. It keeps evolving as I heal. And this is the question I'm like, it begs the question, are you ever done healing? And my experience, no, like you're really not. You're just, there's always another layer. It's just like birthdays. There's another one every year. There's another layer that comes back. And that's why it's an onion. That's why it's referred to as an onion. You're just peeling back more layers because of epigenetics, because there's so many layers to the human body. And like we shed, how often do we create new cells, Dad? Is it every
7 years?
Every 7 years. So every 7 years, we're creating new cells in our body. So we're legit healing constantly. So who you are in 7 years from today is going to be different. So the thing is, we want to just dial in and really tune in to start small, start simple, right? Doing these bigger things. If that's what you want to do, great. But please understand, you really need to know what your purpose is. And then after you do the thing, it's like, how can you live that purpose every day? And that's how we get better. That's how we start using these tools. So we talk about the simple things like the BTGs, because most of them are free. First of all, they're easy to do because they're free. Because like doing all of these type, this type of modality is expensive. Yeah. Like it's going to put a, you know, it's going to put a dent in your bank account. Right. And so at the end of the day, it's not accessible to everybody. So that's something that you're like, oh, I'm going to save all my money to get to here. Okay. That's fine. You know, it's really healing trauma is not linear as we all know. And so again, this is just another tool in the tool belt that, you know, if you've tried all the other things and you're like, oh, I'm going to do this because I've tried everything else, I want you to pause and just think about, have I done all the tools I can to heal myself energetically, mentally, and physically first? And if you have, then, you know, I'm going to say, I give you my blessing to try it out. And then come back and tell me, what is your purpose, A? And then how are you living that every day? And so if we have that conversation, I think that's where we can really start elevating. So those are the thoughts that came out after you're talking.
Again, an excellent, many, many excellent points. You know, obviously we're on the same page. We are not telling people they should never do it. We're not telling people it's the worst thing they should ever consider. What we are saying is it's another, as you just said, it's another tool in your tool belt or your toolbox. It's an opportunity for people to be able to explore something that they may not know how to otherwise do it per se. Although, like you just said, it would not be the first choice somebody who is looking for something, since, you know, I already have 50 other tools in my toolbox, which are the ones that I have gravitated to in my 50 years of medicine, because I honestly have found those to be quite successful in helping people get on the journey, help them start identifying their purpose and maintain a purpose. And you're right. Healing is not something that you reach an end point. You don't reach the goal line and, you know, score 7 points in a football game. It's something that the goalpost keeps moving, because you never reach the goalpost, because there's always what's next. You know, what's next? Is there something that can be a little bit different? Is there a different way of that you interact with, you know, other people in the world? Certainly as humans, one of the most important things that we need to do is realize that socialization is critical for happiness and health. We know that, you know, one of the aspects of treating trauma, in addition to basic treatment guidelines, is to increase our oxytocin level. What's the best way to increase your oxytocin level? Have a pet, pet your dog's belly, have a cat, pet the cat, or whatever animal that you're akin to. And obviously in relationships, you know, hugging your partner is one of the ways of raising your oxytocin level. And we know that people who have higher oxytocin levels are generally in a happier state. So there's something as simple as that, and which sometimes is one of my recommendations to a couple who maybe have seen some challenges. I said, then every day, you know, you have to hug each other 2 or 3 times, and it can prove to be quite successful, because there is a good, it's the opposite of, we'll say, the cortisol, adrenaline, stress hormones that drive us into flight or fright, as to how do we maintain parasympathetic in addition to vagus nerve stimulation and support. Let's look at our oxytocin levels, and let's do things where we have to socialize as opposed to, as you said, our society is very different. And it's very unfortunate that even at this time, supposedly post-COVID, COVID's never going away. If we said previously, it'll be here in 10 and 20 and 50 years from now, because once it's here, it never goes away. However, it's not the tens of thousands of people who are passing away on a regular basis at this point in time, because it's passed through. This is what happens with all pandemics. People always talk about the 1400s with the plague that killed 25% of the European population. It's like it ended in 3 years. It's like, well, and they didn't have medicine because the body adapted and adjusts. So we will continue to have these things. We will continue to explore. We will continue to allow people to raise their level of heightened awareness for whatever that is for them. So that modality may be part of it, but please do remember that there are many other tools in the toolbox that if you're doing that modality, please make use of the other toolkits, and I think you'll be able to reach your goal perhaps a little more quickly than you would otherwise.
Agreed. I think that's the thing is really understanding that healing is a layered approach at the end of the day. So when we talk about trauma and we talk about the autonomic nervous system, it's all about sensory input, right? And so when I'm trying to help someone calm their nervous system and regulate their nervous system, I'm layering things. I'm working on, I have sound, I have lights, I have pressure, I have temperature, I have all these different sensory inputs. And that's the thing, is understanding that, there are going to be layers to this. So this might be one of the layers for you, and that's fantastic. And maybe you may not, and you might be one of those people who are like, nope, that's not for me. I don't want to go there. And that's okay too, because there's different ways for you to access spiritual enlightenment and connect with your spiritual self. And that's cool. And there's other ways to connect with community too. Like my dad just said, just like me, go get a whole bunch of animals. The only thing I'm missing is a fainting goat. And I'm like, then I have my home farm here. It's fantastic. And at the end of the day, it's really, really about how do we shift our energy vibration? Because we are simple. We are energy. Like, humans are energy, and that's what we are. So if we can start shifting that energy in ways that are helpful to you, that's what it's all about, right? And that's where we can start nurturing. Just something that I just want to throw out there is that something that I've been experiencing is, for so long, like, my purpose has constantly changed. And for so long, I was focused on releasing trapped emotions in my body. And now I'm at a point. So I would say I've been probably a year and a half, I've been releasing trapped emotions from my body. And now when I ask my subconscious, do I have any more trapped emotions to release today? The answer is no. And I feel that's because my vibration and my energy has shifted. And I feel that now it's like, okay, what are emotions that I can nurture? So for me, it's like the energy has shifted. And I think that's the thing, is really when we stop and pause and reflect on what does my body need? Because our bodies are very, very wise, and our bodies want to heal. So stop, take a breath, pause. Ask your body, does it want this modality? Yes or no? Get out of your head and ask your body, and you'll have the answer as to if you should or not. So anyway, that's what our two cents are. Dad, do you have anything else you want to add?
I think it should be very clear to our listeners that, what our approach is. We're not anti anything. We support everything.
Yep.
But we, we like people to keep their mind open that this isn't the end all be all, but it can be a ways to a means for some people. If what you just said is a perfect example, get your brain out of it, ask your heart, is this for me or not? And then follow your intuition and see where it leads you.
Absolutely. If you don't know how to listen to your body, then you need to get join my Fury online community. I'm just going to throw it in there. Like, I did a live yesterday showing people how to release trapped emotions, and all of them were like, is it this easy? And I'm like, yes, it's this easy. And I think that's the scary part, is that people think that trauma has to be painful. Releasing trauma has to be painful. And I want to reiterate, and I want to state it yet again. I'm going to say it every day, loud as I can. I'm going to get my blow horn and be like, trauma does not have to be painful to release. It doesn't. It really doesn't. And like, because when I released trauma originally, it was like uncomfortable. And I'm like, this is what I have to sign up for. I'm out. I have zero interest. I've already been in pain for so long. I don't want more. And I've discovered a new way to release trauma. And the cool part is I had a participant in the community and she volunteered to show us how to release trauma and whatnot. Anyway, the cool part is she was in a motor vehicle accident and she's been dealing with chronic headaches in the back of her head. And I have to say, we released three emotions in our session and the pain in her head, her headache significantly decreased. She's like, what did you do to me? I don't understand, but my head doesn't hurt as much. And it was literally just, I was here and she's out in Alberta. It's crazy. There are ways to help you heal. And so if you want to learn more, join my community online. It's at community.fitamize.ca. It concludes our conversation on mind altering tools. But next time we're going to be talking about climate change and the effects to your health. So stay tuned to learn all about that, because climate change, if you don't think it's a thing, it's a thing. It's here. We're dealing with it and we're going to talk about it next time. So thanks so much for being here. We appreciate you and we'll talk to you next time.
Talk to you next time.
We want to remind you that knowledge isn't power. Applied knowledge is power, where knowledge turns to experience. We encourage you to implement the information shared, allowing you to shift your health and energy. And if this is your first time listening, we truly appreciate you being here and would love to have your support by subscribing to our channel. We also love hearing from you, so please connect with us and share your thoughts. And if you have any ideas for future podcasts, please let us know. If you're interested in learning more about biological medicine or trauma-informed movement, check out the show notes. Thanks again for listening, and we look forward to connecting with you in the future.